Now, if you didn't bring a Bible, we have some on the back table. We really like it when you follow along with us, and we'll be glad to bring you one so you can. So if you need one, just raise your hand. We'll bring you one. We'll even let you keep it. All right. We're going to be in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I've been using this passage as kind of a springboard because in it the Lord promises to come again. You know, if I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come again. I will come again and I will receive you unto myself, take you where I am. I mean, he's going to come back for us one day. The last time I spoke on this, on these few verses, verses 1, 2, and 3, I dealt with the Lord's words in verse 1, John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Don't allow your heart to be vexed, troubled, burdened, overwhelmed with whatever it is that's going on in your life. You believe in God. That's a statement, not a question. You believe in God. He's talking to his disciples here. You believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe equally in me, because Jesus is God. He is God incarnate. And for any human being to say that would be blasphemous unless it was Jesus Christ, you know, because he is God. Believe also. Believe equally. Believe the same thing you believe about God. Believe that about me, because he is God. It's interesting. These are the things he shared, verses, well, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. This is his farewell discourse. These are the last things he shared with his disciples before his death. This is the night before his crucifixion. He would be crucified the next day. He knew what was ahead. He knew what was coming. In chapter 13, you know, that's the chapter we talk about when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. You know, they had the Last Supper. He got up, he washed their feet. And then he said, what I've done to you, you do to one another. Because, you know, he knew he was leaving. Right. He told them in chapter 13, he's going away, and where he's going, they couldn't come, at least not yet. But in this chapter, he washed their feet, and that's very significant to each of us, and especially, I believe, to anyone in any ministry position at all, because these were his 12 apostles. One was a devil. But they would go out, and, you know, they would preach and teach in the name of Jesus. Miracles would happen. Demons would be cast out. Signs and wonders would follow their ministry. Now, let me tell you what the human tendency is. The human tendency is to start thinking that I'm somebody. And people will gravitate towards, you know, people would gravitate towards them. He wanted to impress deeply in their hearts and minds that he himself, the Lord, the Savior, God incarnate, washed their feet, that they were to go out as servants and not kings. Amen. You are not a king. You're not a rock star. You're a servant. And don't ever, ever, ever forget that you're a servant. You're right. And that you serve the Lord, your God, and you serve one another. So don't get the big head. Don't think that you're somebody, because God will remind us all very quickly, you're not. The one who was somebody got on his knees and washed his disciples' dirty feet. He even washed Judas's feet, knowing what he was about to do. Is there anybody's feet you can't wash? John 14. He says in verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe equally in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. That's a promise. And receive you unto myself. That's a promise too. I'll take you with me. That where I am, there you may be also. There you may be also. You know, he spoke these words to comfort them because he was leaving. He had just told them, chapter 13 and verse 33, he just told them, little children, yet a little while I'm with you, just a little while. But you'll seek me, as I said unto you, unto the Jews, where I go, you can't come. So I say the same thing to you. I'm about to go. You can't come with me. Not right now. So he spoke these words to comfort them. But I really want to focus today on verse 2. This is where I want our focus to be. Because Jesus says some things here that I think deserve a little bit more focus. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it weren't true, if it weren't so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. He said three things here that I really want to elaborate on a little bit, just to bring some clarity and hopefully not muddy the waters further, but hopefully bring some clarity. Three things in particular in this one verse that he said, really important things. He talks about my Father's house. Then he talks about mansions. And then he says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Let's talk about these three things. Number one, the Father's house. In my Father's house. The Father's house is a synonym for heaven. The Bible uses numerous synonyms to talk about heaven. Jesus called it paradise. He told the thief on the cross, you'll be with me this day in paradise, the paradise of God. So that gives us a picture of what heaven would be like, the eternal state, what it would be like, the paradise, the Garden of Eden paradise that was on the earth when it was perfect. Well, it gives us a picture of that. It's also called in Luke 16, Abraham's bosom, which would be a place where the great saints, the great men and women of God will reside. That's their eternal home. Paul referred to it as the third heaven. He knew a man in Christ, got caught up to the third heaven. Not that there's three heavens, but you know, they speak of the earth, I mean the air right above us as the birds fly through the heavens, you know. Well, they only fly in the air right above us. But then there's a heaven where the stars, the moon, the planets, you know, that's considered the heavens. That would be the second heaven. But the third heaven, this is the heaven that God inhabits. Amen. This is it's not that you keep going up and you get there in a rocket or something, but it's a whole nother dimension. It's not accessible by flesh and blood because, you know, that doesn't go into heaven. That would ruin it. It's a perfect place where there's no sickness, no weakness, no disability. So flesh and blood's not allowed in the third heaven. You either have to die to get there or be glorified. So the third heaven, it's referred to as the kingdom of heaven. It's referred to as the heavenly Jerusalem. Because you know the Bible speaks of that, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. You are coming to Mount Zion. you are coming to Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. There's another name for heaven. The city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and an innumerable company of angels. So, heavenly Jerusalem, city of the living God. Hebrews also refers to it as a better country. There are those who are looking for a better country, that is a heavenly, the Bible says. It is a better place than this. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So the Father's house is another name for heaven. It is the dwelling place of God. That's Isaiah 66 and verse 1, where God says, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. It's the home of God's presence. It's the home of God's glory. It's the place where God's will is perfectly done. That's why Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6. To our Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will is done perfectly in heaven. There's nothing out of order, nothing out of place, nothing wrong going on in heaven. You know, it's God's will is done perfectly. No chaos or confusion. Amen. Everything is just like it's supposed to be in the Father's house.
Thank you, Lord.
Everything is done just like it's supposed to. Now, in case you're wondering, because Jesus does refer to the temple on earth, you know, you've made my Father's house a house of merchandise. He said he drove them out, turned over the money changers' tables and drove them out with a little whip of cords he made. And he said, you've made my Father's house a house of merchandise. He did refer to the earthly temple as the Father's house because God agreed to manifest his presence there in that Holy of Holies. Amen. But I want you to know that that was a temporary thing, because the temple is like K&B and Schwagman's. It ain't there no more. And when the Holy of Holies vanished, the Lord painted Ichabod on the temple because the glory had departed. I mean, so that was a temporary manifestation of the divine glory, the divine presence. Surely he did condescend to dwell on the earth at that time, but it was temporary. It was temporary. God's eternal residence, his eternal home, is heaven, as the Bible tells us repeatedly. Psalms 33 and verse 13 and 14, the Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. Amen. He looks from heaven, which is the place of his habitation. Habitation is where you live. It's your dwelling. That's Jesus again taught us in what we call the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, when you pray, our Father, which art in heaven. It's his eternal dwelling. So the point being here, when Jesus said, in my Father's house, he's referring to heaven. Heaven, a blessed place of peace and joy. Psalm 16, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence, fullness of joy. That's heaven, where it's perfect, where everything is perfect, perfect peace. That's the place, the Father's house. And that's the place, Revelation 21, that the Lord said, there's not going to be any more crying there. That the Lord himself will wipe away every tear. He'll wipe the tears from our eyes. God himself. There'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness. no suffering, not in that blessed place. I thought about how the Bible speaks of the streets of heaven being of transparent gold. Gold so clear it'd be like glass, transparent gold streets. So, you know, no potholes in those streets. So just so you know, New Orleans isn't heaven. I just wanted y'all to be aware of that. This ain't it. And on those streets of gold, there will be no accidents.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord.
And then the Bible speaks about the 12 gates of heaven, and each gate is a single gigantic pearl. So there'll be no brokenness behind those gates. We can't really understand. We really can't fully understand, comprehend with our little minds the glories of heaven in the city that has no need of the sun, S-U-N. Because the glory of God, the Bible says, will illuminate it. The glory of God and the Lamb will illuminate the city. No sun, no darkness. This is where the saved go at death. This is where the saved go.
Amen.
That'll be your home in the Father's house. Praise God.
Amen.
It's where the Lord is.
Yes.
At the right hand of the Father, the Bible says. Amen. Heaven will reunite us with the saints of God, with the Lord Jesus himself. The Bible speaks of it, 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, as an inheritance incorruptible, that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We need a reservation to get there. So you got to call on Jesus. Think about that timeless eternity where nothing rots, nothing decays, nothing spoils, nothing gets old. Everything's eternally new. Nothing goes downhill, you know, like your old neighborhood maybe. You ever drive in an old neighborhood, maybe one that you, maybe yours is different, but you know, you drive in a neighborhood where you grew up or where your mom or your dad grew up, and boy, how it's changed. So it's not the same place. You know, heaven's not like that. People who've been living there for thousands of years, like, it's brand new. It's always brand new. Nothing goes downhill in that timeless eternity. Praise God. So the Father's house is heaven.
Amen.
In my Father's house. The second word we want to look at, the second thing, is where Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. So, and then he said, I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. There in my Father's house. So now this has been the subject of, I think, a lot of confusion, a lot of different opinions, a lot of debate about the word mansions. Mansions is the Greek word mone, M-O-N-E, long E, mone. In one other place, it's translated abode in the Bible, in the King James. Many versions translate this word where the Bible says there are many mansions. They translate it rooms, R-O-O-M-S. In my Father's house are many rooms. Some translate it abodes. Some translate it dwelling places. The Latin is mansio. Mansio, it's where the English term manse came from, or mansion came from. It is derived from the Latin, and that's how they came up with the term mansions. So, but mansions in the old English, like King James written 1611, mansions didn't convey the idea that it does today. Today you think of a mansion, it's some gigantic estate, some luxurious palace. I mean, isn't that picture? In the King James era, that's not what the word conveyed. You know, words change their meaning. They morph. They, you know, he that letteth will let. The word let to us means you allow, but back then it meant to prevent or to hold back. So, you know, words change, our words change, but we think of a mansion as the most elegant, beautiful dwelling place that, and then you've got these versions that translate it rooms, because the word can mean that, a room. But I don't believe room accurately portrays either what God has in store for us. Perhaps we think in our mind we each get a mansion. I mean, are there going to be neighborhoods? Are some neighborhoods going to be better than others? Are some going to be, I mean, are some of them in the city? Are some of them more rural? I hope my mansion's close. I mean, does everybody individually get one? I mean, I hope mine's close to you, Dee. If we get,
hope so, babe.
I mean, but if it's rooms, I don't like the way that sounds. Because in my mind, I'm thinking of a boarding house where you get a room in there, and maybe you have to share a bathroom, or do you get a kitchen? I mean, do we cook in heaven? I don't think we cook in heaven. We get to eat in heaven, though. The Bible does say we get to eat. You know, I don't think we eat out of necessity, like you gotta eat stuff to survive. But
right, it's so different. We don't know.
You know, has anybody ever asked you, are there bathrooms in heaven? I mean, mansions today, they got 8 bathrooms. They got 6 bathrooms. But if you're in a boarding house, there's one at the end of the hall. You share it with half a dozen other people. I'm being serious. I don't like the idea of, well, you know, they got room for, you might have to share that room with somebody. I mean, but you're going to be a room for you somewhere in heaven. There'll be a dwelling place. If somebody told you, yeah, I got a room for you. I mean, it might be a couch in the basement, but that's not what... You see, the terms that we have here in our English, room, dwelling place, I don't know that that accurately conveys what heaven is for us or what heaven holds for us. Even and the term mansion, it's not big enough. The term mansion, no matter how big a palace you imagine, it's just one little place. Right. It's just one little bitty speck on a... It probably wouldn't even show up on a map, no matter how big your mansion is. It doesn't adequately depict the place that God has for us.
Amen.
I mean, let me ask you, what's your thoughts about heaven? Have you given it much thought? It's a dwelling place? Yeah, as long as we get there. I mean, I understand. As long as we get there. As long as we get. And by the way, there's no bathrooms in heaven. It's not that I've been there to find out. It's just that in a perfect body, okay, a glorified, resurrected body, there's nothing that's... There's nothing defiling. Nothing defiling. Yeah, there's no waste. No. I can't imagine toilets in heaven. So.
We can't imagine.
In my Father's house are many rooms. You know, what if you had to share a room? What if you had to share a room with the person you don't like in heaven? For all eternity, that's your reward. The brother or sister that you can't, you're gonna shit. Y'all gonna have bunk beds in heaven. That's gonna.
There's no punishment.
So maybe we better get over ourselves. So at least you get your own room. I mean. I think about, by the way, let me clarify something else. You don't get wings in heaven. You're not going to be an angel. You're not going to be an angel. Despite what people say all the time, God needed another angel, so that's why he killed your brother, so he could have another angel. That's no angels in heaven. I mean, no human being dies and becomes an angel. No children die and become angels. I did hear one lady, I had to listen to it for myself to believe it, but she was online and she's supposed to be a prophetess and she said she went to heaven and it's like Disneyland. It's roller coasters and all of that. Listen, heaven is a place that our minds cannot grasp or comprehend. It is a place permeated with the presence of God. It is permeated with absolute peace, with absolute joy, with absolute security. You are permeated with the divine love for you, a love for you, acceptance for you. You are in your Father's house. And he has for you love, perfect love, all-encompassing love, incomprehensible love.
Thank you, Lord.
In your Father's house.
Amen.
Which brings me to another thing I want to bring out, because they kind of go together, the third thing. And that is when Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare a place for you. Twice he says that. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, then I'll come again. So two times he talks about preparing a place for us. And I'll tell you, that it made me wonder years ago if heaven was a place still under construction, that I have to go prepare a place for you. I mean, you know, like, yeah, the White House getting renovated, we adding on. 90,000 square feet, $300 million now the projected cost to renovate the White House. I don't think Jesus meant that he had to go, you know, we busy building mansions up there, so I got to go prepare a place for you. He is a carpenter. And they got better building materials up there than you're going to get at Home Depot. I guarantee you that. But when he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, prepare, it means to get a place ready. I'm going to go prepare a place.
Thank you, Lord.
But, you know, I'm a landlord. So I think about preparing a place for a tenant.
Uh-oh.
I think you got to patch holes and paint, clean.
Yep.
You know, a tenant moves out.
Yep.
But if it's like that, you have to wonder, what happened to the previous tenant? I mean, did they die? I mean, how do you die in heaven? You can't die. Did they get kicked? Maybe they got moved to a better neighborhood. I don't know.
But, oh,
here's what the Bible says. I mean, in all seriousness, okay? Heaven's way better than that. Way better than any apartment that I have. Oh, Jesus, help us. Matthew 25. I want you to listen to what the Lord said. This is what the king said in his parable. Matthew 25, 34. He said, "Come, you beloved of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That's what Jesus said. "Come, ye blessed of my Father." That's what he says to those on the right hand. You don't want to know what he said to those on the left hand, right?
No.
But to those on the right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So it's not like additions are being made to heaven right now so that there'd be a room for you or a place for you, because it's been prepared from the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Just like our Savior is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's a place for you. But this is what the Lord said. Inherit the kingdom. Inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you. Heaven is so much more than a room.
Amen.
It's so much more than a dwelling place. It's so much more than a mansion. It's so much more than that. You get to inherit the kingdom. You get to inherit the entirety of your Father's house. You are his son. You are his daughter. You get to inherit your Father's house. Heaven becomes your home, just like it's the Lord's home, just like it's God the Father's home. It's your home. You get all of heaven. You don't get a piece of it. You don't get a dot on a map. You get all of heaven. All of heaven becomes our home. And when the Lord said, "I'm preparing a place for you," look, he's not talking about a building. He was going to die on a cross. That's what he's talking about. "I'm going to go die on a cross so that you can come to this place. Because you're not going to get there otherwise. I'm going to go prepare a place." The word place does, it can mean a spot. It can mean a location. It also means an opportunity, because that's what the Lord was going to prepare. I'm going to make the way for you to get to your to the Father's house, because otherwise you won't come. You won't be able to get there. That's the whole point. He was leaving, and what they want to know, well, where are you going? I'm going to prepare a place for you, a way for you, an opportunity for you to inherit the Father's house, so that it'll be your house, it'll be your dwelling, because you're not going to make it on your own. Only he could provide our admission to the Father's house. Otherwise, we're not getting in. Only he could provide it, and he was going to do what only he could provide. I'm going to go, and I'm going to provide a way for you to enter the Father's house, so that where I am, you can be also. Because you're not going to be able to be there if I don't go provide the way. If I don't go provide admission for you. That's the whole idea. Our inheritance is heaven. He provided this for us, the Father's house. We get to spend eternity with our Lord and Savior. And so in the meantime, people squabble over whether we get a room or a dwelling place or an abode or a mansion or what color you'll want your mansion to be. We get all of heaven in all of its glory. I, that's where our Savior is. We will be reunited with our loved ones who have gone on before us. Heaven is a reunion. The Bible speaks in the Old Testament about the saints who died. The Bible says they were gathered to their people. Heaven is spoken of as a reunion. I do believe we'll eat in heaven, because the Lord himself said to his disciples at the Last Supper, he said, "I won't drink the fruit of the vine again until I drink it with you in the kingdom."
Yeah.
in the kingdom of heaven. I'll drink it with you then in the kingdom of heaven. So I don't think we'll have to drink anything to survive like we do here, or eat anything to survive. It'll be a joy, because in heaven there's this tree of life with 12 kinds of fruits that grow all year round, and they have to be something we can't imagine. But will there be food? Yes, there will be food. There will be food for fellowship. There will be food for enjoyment. There will be food so that together with the Lord, with the saints of God, with our loved ones, we will enjoy one another's company. And nobody will be rushed to get home. You're home.
That's true. Amen.
Nothing to interrupt that fellowship. We spend eternity with the Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul, who was caught up to the third heaven, he said he saw things there impossible to utter. In fact, not lawful for me to utter. So he saw things, for one thing, no human words could describe. There are no words to describe what he saw. So he didn't even try. But he also saw things that the Lord told him, you can't reveal. Not lawful for me to utter. So the Lord, obviously, he saw things there that the Lord said, that's not for others to know right now. I don't think it's Disneyland. But things that the Lord obviously told him not to say. What Paul did say, however, the book of Philippians in chapter 1, is that for me to live, he said, and to die is gain. To die is better. So he knew what heaven was like because he'd been there. He was caught up to the third heaven. So he said, for me to live is Christ, but for me to die is even better. Because he knew where he was going.
That's right.
He goes on and says in verse 23, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I'm kind of in between a rock and a hard place in our vernacular. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it's needful for me to stay here and be with you. Being with Christ, to depart this world in death or rapture.
Right.
But to depart this world is to be with Christ, which he said is far better than whatever this world has to offer us. Being with Christ is far better. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. He's given us glimpses. We don't know all the glories of heaven. We can't know. We have glimpses. We have short little descriptions that makes us long for more.
Right.
But what we do know, it's where our Father, our Savior, the Holy Spirit, of course, is. It's where our loved ones in Christ are. It's your home, too.
Amen.
You know the wonderful thing about it? Your admission has been paid. Admission has been paid in full.
Amen.
It's just a matter of you believing.
Amen.
That the Savior who said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, was going to die on a cross so he could atone for your sins and mine.
Thank you, Lord.
And that after dying and being buried and being raised from the dead. He lives forevermore. And it is necessary that you and I believe that, that we believe on Christ. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Where? In your Father's house. In your Father's house. Jimmy Swaggart used to sing a song. Y'all ever heard the old songs Jimmy Swaggart used to sing? Way back in the 1970s. I'm not singing it. I'll sing it at home. Back in the day when I was still cutting hair and traveling around training other shops and all that, I was told that you have, if you want to be successful, you have to look successful. So you got to have a big old car. And so I bought a 1971 Cadillac Eldorado. The hood, you have to start turning the corner a block away because the hood was so long. You know. So I traveled Texas and parts of Mississippi and Louisiana in that car on weekends. And I had an old 8-track tape of Jimmy Swaggart songs. Now, this is back in the 1970s. So but one of the songs he sang was In My Father's House. Y'all ever heard that one? Come and go with me to my Father's house. See, I'm not singing it. No, I'm not singing it. You'll sing?
Yeah.
All right, this is how it goes. Come and go with me to my Father's house. To my Father's house. To my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. You got it?
Amen.
All right, y'all sing it. To my Father's house, to my Father's house, come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy.
Hey.
Amen. Amen. Here's my question. Do you have a reservation?
Yes.
Amen.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure that if you close your eyes here, that you will be welcomed into your Father's house? Because please don't leave here without that assurance in your heart that if you close your eyes here in death, you want the assurance that you will be welcomed into the Father's house. You do not want to go where those on the left hand go. Those on the right hand, come you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. To those on the left hand, depart from me, cursed ones. Depart from me where they would be cast into hell. A place prepared for the devil and his angels. It's vitally important that you know that you're going to inherit the Father's house. And when you have that assurance in your heart, it's not because you deserve it. Not because you deserve it.
Amen. Thank you for your mercy, Lord.
It's because Christ paid your admission.
Praise the Lord.
He paid for this inheritance for you.
Amen.
Now you must believe it.
You're right.
And if you believe it, then you need to live like it.
Amen.
It's important that you actually live like someone who believes that that you have a home in heaven, that you're God's child.
Amen.
God's children inherit the Father's house. Father, we thank you for the blessedness of eternal life that you promise us all. And we thank you, Lord, for the grace that you provide to get through this life with all of its challenges and difficulties, with all of its temptations and allures. Lord, you give us the mighty Holy Spirit. You give us the assurances and promises of your word. You give us faith to trust you, to overcome, to refuse the devil's temptations, so that, Lord, we can live even here in this broken world. Yeah. We can live even here as your children, Lord.
Yes, Lord,
and honor you with our lives. That's our prayer, Lord. Help us as your children,
yes,
to reflect, our Father, to reflect our Savior, so that our words, our attitudes, our thoughts, and our behavior brings no shame or disgrace to our Father's name,
yes,
to the name of our Savior. Lord, let us not bear your name in vain.
Yes,
and Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have received us, loved us, forgiven us, and granted us admission to the Father's house, our Father's house. And that your Father's house and our Father's house are one and the same. For this, Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we also pray for every one of our loved ones,
yeah,
Lord. Lord Jesus, that they too would inherit,
yes,
our Father's house. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.